If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me, if you will, over to 1 John. We put the sign-up sheet for the prayer and visitation breakfast out in the vestibule just a moment ago. And if you're planning on coming, I say thank the Lord, number one. But please sign up. We want to have plenty of breakfast, but we don't want to have too much. So it'll give us an idea of how many to prepare for. Okay? That'll help us a lot. 1 John chapter number 5 this morning. There's something that I've learned in the ministry, and that is this. Brother Joe said something a while ago about a crowd this size. And, you know, good likelihood somebody don't know Jesus. But I've also learned down through the years that if it's brought to your attention that someone is struggling in an area, that probably there's someone else struggling in the same area or has struggled in that area. And I want to address this morning a subject that I've never had much experience with since I've been saved, but I know that many do. Let me begin the message today by asking a question. How many in this building have ever gone through a period of time in your Christian experience when you doubted your salvation? Would you raise your hand? Would everybody look around? Raise them up for a minute. Okay. How many in this building are saved by the grace of God? Listen carefully. And you could say, preacher, in my Christian experience, I've never struggled with doubt. Would you raise your hand? I'd have to raise my hand right there. There's a couple, three. Very much the minority in this room. Do y'all see that? I remember reading a book or a pamphlet, I'm not sure which, it may have been a sermon, by Dr. John R. Rice years ago. And he said this, he said, if you are a child of God and you have never struggled with doubt, he said, you need to count your blessings. He said, because so many do. And I want this morning to, from 1 John chapter number 5, I want to address the subject, and Brother Merv, this is the way the Lord's ordered it. Can you hear me, Brother Merv? Can you hear me? Okay, brother. When I get done preaching this morning, I want you to sing for us. I want you to sing the song that is the title of my sermon this morning, Blessed Assurance. That's what I want to title the sermon this morning, Blessed Assurance. It is a wonderful song. It starts off with, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Thank God, I've been reading over in the book of the Song of Solomon this week, and thank God He is mine, and I am His. What a wonderful Savior He is this morning. I'd like to title the sermon, Blessed Assurance. And I'd like to just, I'll tell you what happened. Last night I was praying. While I was praying, I came up here to the camper about 7 o'clock. I love to just get away from everything, get away from everybody. While I was praying, the Lord put this on my heart. And then I began to look at the Bible and I began to develop it. And I happened to remember that Brother J.W. had the Saturday Night Sing going on 91.5. I turned that on just in the background kindly while I was studying and meditating. I'm telling you, my God got so big. I'm telling you, it just got plumb wonderful where I was at. And I want to preach this morning out of that heart. out of this chapter, entitled the message, Blessed Assurance. Let me just read one verse. We'll read lots of verses as we go through. Probably read every verse in the chapter. I'm not sure if we'll get finished this morning. One wonderful thing about pastoring, you don't have to get done. Amen? There'll be tonight. If there's no tonight, if our Lord comes this afternoon, I'll guarantee you every blood-washed believer will have blessed assurance then. If you've been washed in the blood, honey, you're checking out of here when He comes. You're standing on that rock the choir sang about. You're checking out of here when He comes. The Bible said in verse number 13, these things have I written unto you. Now here's what I'd like for you to do. I don't want you to change the Bible, but I'd like for you to underline that little word, you. And in your heart, I'd like for you to put your name right there. Brother Brian, a while ago, took time and read the names of the birthdays. He read the names of the anniversaries. I'd like for you to put your name right there. These things have I written unto Rick. You say, preacher, what's that do for you? It makes it personal. These things have I written unto Sam. These things have I written unto Michael. Well, actually, the Bible said here, these things have I written unto you, that there's a condition in order to put your name there, that you, those that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, somebody tell me what that next word is. No. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So God doesn't want us just to begin in faith. He wants us to continue in faith. He doesn't want us just to be saved by faith, but He wants us to serve by faith and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God now. And Lord, I know that only the Word of God can help us. I pray the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and make it real in our hearts. And Lord, as we address this subject this morning, Lord, if there are folk here that are struggling with doubt, God, how I pray this morning, Lord, that, Lord, the doubt would be erased. Lord, that there would be blessed assurance. And God, I pray this morning that you'd help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just by way of introduction, just a little fact, a little thing that I researched last night. 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. One preacher called it Little John, 1 John. In 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, the word know or the word known is used 34 times in those three little epistles. God wants us to know something. You say, preacher, what's God want us to know? I believe first and foremost, God wants us to know that we're saved by the grace of God. 34 times He uses the word know. Now, it's one thing to think something, and it's another thing to know something. Jesus told the Pharisees, if you remember, He said, search the Scriptures. He said, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of Me. So they actually, hey, the Apostle Paul, when he was killing Christians, thought that he was doing God a service. He thought that he was serving God. Amen. He thought that he was doing right. It's one thing to think something, and it's another thing to know something. I don't think I'm married. I know I am. Amen. Appreciate Brother Brian reminding people of those anniversaries. You forget a birthday and there's forgiveness. You forget an anniversary and there's a grave waiting on you. Amen. Amen. Listen, God wants us to know that we have, not will have, not used to have, but that we have eternal life. And this life is in His Son. I want to give you five things out of the chapter today. Go down through the chapter and we're going to begin in the fact that this blessed assurance is found in a person. It's found in a person. It's not found in some religious system. It's not found in a church. It's found in a person. Let me give it to you. Look at the Bible. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 through verse number 4, it's found in the person of God the Father. Look at verse 1. The Bible said, wherefore, or whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Born of God. Born again. Born from above. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'm telling you this morning that blessed assurance is found in a person. And I've never seen this before last night, but all three persons of the Godhead are magnified in 1 John chapter number 5. God the Father is the first person that I see in this chapter. The Bible said here, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. We know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So we see God the Father. Look at verse number 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? There's some overlap here. But look at verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. Not only do we find in this person God the Father, but we also find in verse 5 down through verse number 9, God the Holy Spirit. I used to say, according to 1 John chapter 1 and verse, or chapter 5 and verse 13, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And I used to say this, and I meant it sincerely, but I was sincerely wrong. I used to say the only way that an individual can know for certain that they're saved is by the Word. But listen, there's another thing going on here besides the Word, and that is the witness. Thank God we have the Word of God, but we have the witness of the Holy Ghost living in us that makes the Word of God real to us. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, if you read this book and it's a dead, dry, dull book, it might be because the witness is missing. Because when the witness lives in you, this book is alive. We have this morning in the person of God the Father. We have in the person of God the Holy Spirit. Blessed assurance is not found in a program. It's not found in signing a card. It's not found in being dipped in a water hole. I'll tell you what, it's not found in church membership. But blessed assurance is found in the person of the Godhead. God the Father. God the Holy Spirit. But last, but certainly not least, let's look here for a moment at God the Son. He is magnified in 1 John chapter number 5. The Bible said in verse number 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now watch verse 9, the second part. The Bible said, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Aren't you glad that God didn't just say he loved us, but he sent his Son to give his life for us. And he sent his Son that we might have life and have it abundantly. Look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Listen, blessed assurance comes from God the Father. It comes from God the Holy Spirit. But look in these verses how it comes from God the Son. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. Notice these verses right here, and these words. This life is in his Son. Let me just say this morning, if you have Jesus, you have life. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. The Bible said in
John chapter 3, I believe verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Brother Joe said a while ago, there's only two kinds of people in the world, saved and lost. And God wants saved people to have blessed assurance and to know that Jesus is theirs. Found in the person of the Lord Jesus. This is the record. Look in verse 11. That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son, I'm glad the Bible's simple. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm telling you, if we fled for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ when we were made aware by the Holy Ghost that we were a sinner, we didn't run to Buddha, we didn't run to Allah, hallelujah, we ran to Jesus, then we ought to be able to say glory to God. He said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. He's received everyone that ever came to Him. I tell you what, there's a very real devil. And the devil wants God's people to doubt. Let me say this to you this morning. Listen, you say, preacher, why would the devil? All that was the majority. There wasn't but four or five hands that said they haven't struggled with doubt. Why would the devil want to cause people to doubt? I'll tell you why. Because while you're all wrapped up in yourself and in your own salvation, others are dying and going to hell all around you. Amen. God don't want us to have blessed assurance. He doesn't want us to be, the devil doesn't want us to have blessed assurance. The devil doesn't want us to be able to pray with confidence. The devil doesn't want us to be able to tell others with confidence about what the Lord Jesus has done for us. But thank God, I serve a God that's bigger than the devil. I serve a God that can give blessed assurance to His children. It's found in a person. Look at verse number 20. Look down here. And we know that the Son of God is come. How many knows that? And hath given us an understanding. Now listen, when I got saved, there was a lot of things I didn't understand. But there's two things I understood very well. I understood, Brother Gary, that I was a sinner. And I understood that He was the Savior. And I tell you, when I, the sinner, ran to the Savior and asked Him, amen, in faith to forgive me, I thank my God He washed me. I thank God He picked me up. I thank God He put me on a rock. I thank God He put a song in my heart. I thank God He gave me peace and joy and love. I thank God that I found a friend that'll go with me all the way, even to the end of the world. Found in a person. Secondly, blessed assurance is not only found in a person, but blessed assurance is found in a power. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, how many believes when the Lord Jesus moves in that all of a sudden there's some power in our life? Watch what I'm going to say to you from the Word of God. Power. You say, preacher, what do you mean, power? Look at verse number 1 here. First of all, I see there's power to love. In verse number 1, the Bible said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth Him, that begot, if we love God, we love Him also that is begotten of Him. We love His children. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. In other words, don't say you love God if you don't love His children. And don't say you love His children if you don't love God. I'm telling you, when you love God, you love what God loves and hate what God hates. Amen. Thank God this morning that we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. I'm telling you something. There was a day in my life. You all were not my crowd. Did y'all get that? You were not my crowd. You were not the crowd I wanted to be around. You were not the crowd I wanted to hang out with. Amen. Because you were going in a different direction. You had a different conversation. You weren't involved and interested in the things that I was involved and interested in. I thank God, listen, that when Jesus came, my friend, listen, there was a power that was put in me to love the things I used to hate and hate the things I used to love. Power to love. Power to love. You see, a lot of people, they think that we can just love on our own. We can, in the sense the way the world uses the word love. But there's a big difference in the way the world uses the word love and the way the Bible uses the word love. You see, the Bible, when we get saved, listen to me carefully. Before I got saved, I had words with an individual. And my words weren't near as bad as his words. But at that time, I was just religious. I was going to church, going through the motions and all that. But still, my flesh didn't get the upper hand. And what happened, this individual, he saw that one of my wife's tires on the car was bald on the edge. As a matter of fact, it was so bald that there was some steel showing through it. Has anybody ever been there? Amen. You get down to check a tire and you get your blood checked. Amen. You rake your hand on it and it'll prick a hole in your hand for steel coming out of it. Well, I bought tires off of this man, bought many tires off of him. Most of them were recaps. You say, why, preacher? How many's got an idea why? That's all I could afford. Amen. And so I was working for another man that worked for a tire company in Abingdon. I was putting cabinets in, actually refinishing and adding to his kitchen. And I needed tires. Well, this man had told my wife about the bare tire. And so I told my wife, I said, well, this man is, you know, giving us his business. We'll just give him some business. And I sent my wife down there to get a set of tires. And this man that we had bought the tires off of for years, he was offended by it. And he said something to my wife. And let me just go ahead and say this, y'all. Y'all probably know this. Say whatever you want to me, but don't say it to my wife. Amen. Amen. He said to my wife, he said, I can't believe y'all went somewhere else and got tires. Then he said this. He said, well, they didn't even wash the white walls on them tires. He was just criticizing the other company, you know. And so I met up with him one day, not on purpose, but we just met up, happened to be in the same place at the same time. And he said the same thing to me. And it was already rubbing me the wrong way. How many's ever been rubbed the wrong way? And he said to me, he said, well, they didn't even wash the white walls on them tires. And I looked at him and I called his name and I said, sir, let me tell you something. Them white walls belong to me. And I'll wash them when I get good and ready to wash them. It's none of your concern. Don't you worry about it. And he said, let's go outside. And I said, let's go. And I'm telling you, he called me everything in the book. I mean, he cursed bad. Kind of reminds you of Goliath. Amen. I mean, he was cursing bad. Amen. And I looked at him at that time. I wasn't saved. I didn't know it at that time. I was struggling at that time. But I still had enough character to tell him this. I said, there was a day when you would have talked to me like that, and we would have been going round and round in these gravels right now. I said, but I've learned it's not worth it, and neither are you. And he turned and walked away. Now you say, well, preacher, you really told him. I'm going to tell you something what happened. When God saved me, God required me to go back. He put a love in my heart. I tell you, I may have had a little character that day for that sinner man, but I didn't have any love for him, Brother Joe. I went back with tears. I told him that I was sorry that we had the conflict. I told him that I wanted to see him saved. And he said, I don't want to hear anything you've got to say. It wasn't just a few weeks and his wife died in her 40s. I'm telling you, this man has been through it. I don't wish that on him. He might deem himself to be my enemy. But God put a love in my heart. If that man don't get saved, he'll fry in hell forever and forever. And forever. You say, preacher, what about blessed assurance? It's found in a person, but thank God it's found in a power. God will give us power to love. You say, preacher, the Bible said pray for your enemy. How many knows that? Pray for them that despitefully use you. Pray for them that persecute you. How many of you all? Listen carefully. How many of you all would like to hear Jesus praying back in that day? I believe if we'd have heard him praying, we'd have done the same thing the disciples done. We'd have said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Amen. Teach us to pray. I say there, it's found in a person. It's found in God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. But it's found in a power. Let me give you this. There's power to love. Look into the second part of verse number 2 and verse number 3. The Bible said when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You say, preacher, how can you find blessed assurance? There's a person, but there's a power. There's a power to love. And let me give you this. There's a power to obey. How many wanted to do right a long time before you ever got saved? And you tried, and you went right back, and you tried, and you went right back, and you tried, and you went right back. But thank God when that blood was applied, and God saved you, you found out there was some victory in your life, and you can now obey what God wanted you to obey. And listen, it wasn't grievous. His commandments are not grievous. A lot of people think Christianity is for fuddy-duds. That man, you can't do anything. Oh, that's just not true. Amen. Only thing is now we have life abundantly. And we don't have a headache on Sunday morning. Now we have joy. Now we have peace. There's power to love. But thank God there's power to obey. There's power to obey what God wants us to do. I don't know about you. Listen, I'm not fussing with anybody that ran from the call to preach, but I guess I didn't have a chance to run. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that I went down between two pews because the aisles were filled, the altar was filled. I went down in here to pray for America, and I come up preaching, and I've been preaching ever since. I didn't run from it. I didn't run to it. I just know God called me right there to preach the Word of God. Amen. And there was power to get up and obey the call of God on my life. People tell you, young preacher, you'll starve to death. I'm not going to pull my coat back. But do I look like I'm starving? Amen. I'm telling you, God will take care of His youngins. Amen. If we'll obey Him, He might put us, my friend, in the darkest region of Africa or the darkest region of South America. But I'm telling you, when God puts you there, He'll go with you. He gives us power, not only to love, but power to obey. You see, somebody tell me how Abraham was saved. Two words, tell me. Holler at me. That's exactly right. So what did he do? By faith, he left Ur of the Chaldees. Is that right? He left his family. He went on a journey. He was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. How was he doing that? By faith. How did he have power, my friend, to overcome? How did he have power to love God and power to obey God? By faith, by faith, by faith. When God dealt with my heart years ago to leave Hurricane Baptist Church, I got on the phone and all the preachers were in the Tri-Cities area. That's about all the preachers that I knew at the time. And I called different preachers. I believe there's safety in a multitude of counselors. Amen. I don't know everything. There may come a time when I'll ask you a question, ask you to help me pray about it. Amen. I don't know everything. But I'll tell you this right now, all four of those preachers said basically the same thing. You're a preacher, and you've got a family, and your first responsibility is to your family. I wouldn't leave that church. Every one of them said the same thing. I would not resign. I would not leave until God opened another door. Now, how many can say with me that that sounds like wonderful counsel? Amen? That's reasonable, is it not? You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, God rubbed my nose in Hebrews 11. And when it gets in your nose, it's liable to get in your heart. He said, Abraham obeyed me, and he didn't know where he was going. How many knows what the next step for preacher was? You see, there's safety in a multitude of counselors. But if God counsels you from the Word, you better go with God. Say amen. Amen. And I went ahead and obeyed God. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Blessed assurance comes from a relationship with the person of God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. But it's also found in that power. We have the power to love that we didn't used to have. The power to obey that we did not used to have. I don't know what moms and dads of these teenagers are praying or saying. But I'll tell you one thing right now. I'll tell every one of these teenagers and the young people in this church. You'll never go wrong by obeying God. Whatever God says, we better do it. We better do it. We better do it. It's found in a person. Blessed assurance is found in a power. Has there come a time in your life when used to you couldn't love, but now you can? Used to it was a struggle to obey, but now you can. Watch this now in verse number 4 and 5. I think I'm going to unhitch right here this morning. Look at verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God, what's that next word? Overcometh the world. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you overcoming the world, or is the world overcoming you? There should be assurance in this fact. Not only is there power to love and power to obey, but there's power to overcome. Overcome. That doesn't mean there won't be seasons when the flesh gets the best of you. That doesn't mean there won't be seasons, amen, when the world gets the best of you. Or seasons when the devil gets the best of you. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're a child of God, you're not going to stay very long in that season. God's going to wear you out with that season. Say amen. You see, we don't have the same appetite that we used to have. When God saved us, somebody said, well, preacher, you mean you can drink whatever you want to? That's exactly right. When God saved me, He changed my want tos. Amen. I got to drink a living water. Why would I want to go back to Bud Dummer when I got to drink a living water? Amen. When I got to drink of the glory and the love of God Almighty in my heart and in my life. A power to overcome. Verse number 4 and verse number 5. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. When we put our faith in Christ, God made us an overcomer. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, if we're being overcome, 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 and it's a way of life, then more than likely we're lost without God. But if God gives us power to love, power to obey, power to overcome the world, then He's saying you ought to have some blessed assurance. You couldn't do that by yourself. You can't overcome the flesh by yourself. You can't overcome the world by yourself. Only by faith can we be overcomers. Only by faith can we have blessed assurance. 34 times, the word know, the word known. I found this blessed assurance in a person in this chapter. God the Father is magnified, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. I found it also in a power to love. How many can say, with Judgment Day honesty,
There's some things that you used to do that you hate today. Hate it. How many can say with Judgment Day honesty? Now I can say this, that there's some things that you used to do that still rear their ugly head in your life. You know what part of that is, Brother Arnold? We reap what we sow. There's some things, Brother John, that I've put in this computer. I would to God would have never been put in that computer. My Lord, Brother James, has forgiven and washed. I would to God I could reach up there and hit a delete button and just delete some things. Paul, read about that struggle in Romans chapter 7. It was going on in his bosom. He said, preacher, how could a man like Paul, when he said the things that I would do, I don't do, and the things that I would not do, I do. How could that man have assurance? Read the rest of the chapter. He said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ my Lord. The Bible said in Romans 8 chapter number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. To them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Overcomers. God wants us to overcome. And if we have any measure of victory in our life, that measure shouldn't be pointing a finger at us. It ought to be pointing all 10 at Him and saying, glory to God, He's the victory in my life. I believe if there's anything bad about any of us, we're responsible for it. And I believe if there's anything good about every one of us, He's responsible for it. My blessed assurance is not found in me. I love Bible Way Baptist Church, but my blessed assurance is not found in Bible Way Baptist Church. My blessed assurance, my friend, listen, is found in the Bible. My blessed assurance is found in the God of the Bible. My blessed assurance is found in obedience to the Bible. Say amen. I tell you something right now. If we're walking in disobedience and walking in disobedience and walking in disobedience, we ought to doubt. But if we're walking in obedience, God ought to give us some assurance. Let me close the message with this. I was reminded of this the other day. How many remembers a man by the name of John the Baptist? Joe the Baptist sang for us this morning, but I'm talking about John the Baptist now, not Joe the Baptist. Amen. I believe you and John would have got along good, Brother Joe. You want to know why? You have the same Jesus. But John's down there in the prison now. And John says to his disciples, he said, would you go ask Jesus? Amen. Can you believe it, Brother Rick? John, the one that prepared the way of the Lord. He said, would you go ask Jesus, art thou He? Or should we look for another? I tell you what's the truth. I guarantee you the average Baptist would have jumped all over Him, amen. But I tell you what, our Lord didn't jump all over Him. Amen. They went down there and they asked Jesus. They said, John sent us down here to ask you, art thou He, or should we look for another? Oh, Jesus said, just go tell John, the blind see, and the lame walk, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. Amen. I tell you, they got back down there and they told John. I believe old John said, that's Him. Glory to God, there's nothing to worry about. That's Him. Now listen to what Jesus said. Jesus, I'm telling you what's the truth. Jesus could have fussed at John. Jesus could have put him down. Jesus told him, he said, what went you out to see? A reed shaking in the wind? What'd you go out to see? Somebody in soft apparel? He said, no, he is a prophet. And much more than a prophet. Brother Larry, our Lord said of John, among those that are born of women, there's not a greater than John.
I'll tell you what the devil will do. My friend, listen, he'll jump up on you and he'll ride as long as you let him ride. Say amen. But I tell you, our Lord's not going to jump on you if you have a season, amen, of doubt. Our Lord's not going to jump on you. Our Lord, my friend, is going to just remind you of who he is and what he's done. And he's trusting that that will wake us up and bring us out. He said, howbeit he that's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I believe Jesus had to throw that in there to let us know there's a big difference in the way eternity measures things and the way time measures things. A big difference. God wants us to have blessed assurance. I'm going to tell you tonight, the good Lord willing, we're going to go on down through this chapter and it's going to be unbelievable, some of the things that the Lord has shown us. But I can tell you this, we might be in a season of doubt. I asked a while ago, how many have struggled with doubt somewhere? How many found some relief in the person I talked about this morning? How many found some relief in the power that I talked about this morning? Just realized, I can't do it. I'm going to give you this. I meant to touch on it tonight. I'm going to give you this, and I'll quit this morning. My pastor's name is Brother Wishon, Brother Bud Wishon. His name is Hubert, but he goes by Bud. I love Brother Bud. He was my pastor when God saved me by his grace. A great man. I love him. I'd like to have an old-fashioned day sometime around here and let him wear his overalls and come preach for us. Amen. I'll tell you what, you'd enjoy, Brother Bud. Let me say this. Brother Bud struggled with doubt for years. Struggled. He got down praying. Ain't it something? There he is praying. And he wasn't just praying. He was praying in the Holy Ghost. There is a difference. That might not be good English, but there is a difference. Brother John, he found himself down praying. Here's what come out of his mouth. He said, oh God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what else to do. He said, Lord, I tell you this. He said, if I go to hell, he said, I'll go trust in Jesus. Guess what happened? The Holy Ghost come on the scene and let him know that that's an impossibility. You can't go to hell trusting Jesus. Because if we trust Jesus, he'll save us from our sin. Write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God gave him victory. That sounds like a stupid prayer. But he was struggling to the point where he didn't know what else to do. And he wanted an answer. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I believe everybody that wants to know, Brother Jimmy, God will let them know. My precious Father, I'll be with him tomorrow. Brother Harv, if he was to walk through that door back there after church, Brother Harv looked at me and says, why, you guys favor a little bit. Is this your dad? If I looked at you, Brother Harv, and said, well, I think so, what would that do to my dad? If I looked at you, Brother Harv, and says, well, he says he is, what would that do to my dad? If I looked at you, Brother Harv, and said, well, I hope so, there's only one thing that's really going to make my dad feel the way my dad ought to feel. That's to say, Brother Harv, this is my dad. His name's John. And I love my dad, Brother Harv, and my dad loves me. You say, preacher, what's coming out of that illustration? Do you understand that if we continue to walk in doubt, that what we're saying is, I hope he's my father. I think he's my father. I even got a Bible. He says He's my Father. Nothing short of hallelujah, He is my Father. God don't want us wandering around down here just hoping and thinking and maybe so. He wants us to know. K-N-O-W. Know that we've passed from death unto life. It's found in a person. It's found in a power. I'm just glad you come this way today. Brother Merv, it's your turn. Get on up here. I want you to listen to this song. Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Come on up here, brother. You're not going to stand back there. Get on up here. Here's what I want you to do. If you're struggling this morning, I'd like for you to just get somebody, just come in the altar while Brother Merv is singing and just say, would you help me pray? God, give me victory. If some way or another God's let you know that you're not saved, Brother Joe, what would be the shame this morning? I tell you, that night everybody in that church thought I was saved. But there was a God in heaven knew I wasn't. And I knew I wasn't. I'll tell you where the shame's going to be. At the great white throne judgment. When everybody thought you was one of God's youngins. All I'm saying is this morning, if the evidence stacks up for you, claim the evidence. But if it stacks up against you, swallow your pride. Come meet Jesus in faith. He'll save you. Let's pray. Father, bless this song that Brother Merv's about to sing. God, I pray not one would leave here today without blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. In Jesus' name.